Book of Acts, first chapter, verse 9. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem. Verse 13, And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. And verse 14, These all continued with one accord. And now we turn to chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Verse 44. And all that believed were together. Verse 46. Continuing daily with one accord. I'd like to mention that the Lord has, in providing the birth of the church and setting it up as he did and showing us this beautiful pattern, the model, has provided in this everything that we need to be normal, healthy Christians and to be a normal, healthy assembly where we're from. Each of us are from an assembly which merely represents the body of Christ. And each of us in that assembly need what was set up here. We have really three things here. We have the breaking of bread, as our brother was bringing before us. And we have what we would term the reading meeting, or the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And we have prayer, the prayer meeting. We know there's another one that's very important, the gospel. But as Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I always feel when this that the Lord has provided and set up, is undertaken and carried out in an assembly, the gospel just naturally goes forth from that assembly. And I think that's the way it should be. When you're in the right state of soul, when you're fed yourself, when the assembly is healthy, the gospel will be proclaimed. I wouldn't want to preach a gospel, and I will not preach a gospel without a prayer meeting. That prayer meeting is so important. And I don't think I would or could preach a gospel without the benefit of the reading meeting. That reading meeting is so important. Nor could a gospel go forth either in sincerity without the blessing, as we had this morning, of the remembrance, the breaking of bread, that wonderful worship where we have our hearts filled with himself and his love for us. So I just mentioned this, and they continued on together with one accord. You know, a beautiful thought comes out here is what the Lord has in mind. It's in Psalm 133. You don't have to turn to it. But I believe it says how good and how pleasant it is to the Lord. Maybe I should turn to it. When brethren dwell together in unity. That's lovely, isn't it? This means so much to our Lord. It means everything to him. And you know, we get the blessing that comes down because the Lord is never debtor to anyone. That's the third verse. What is it? Dew from heaven upon that assembly, upon that family, upon that group of believers who go on together, even in unity. And dew speaks of blessing, does it not? Blessing from heaven. And I think it's lovely that our assembly, each one of you, go back to an assembly. And you know, that assembly needs what is provided here to go on healthily. We all need it individually, but we need it collectively as an assembly. We can't ignore any of this. It has continued on and on for almost 2,000 years as God set it up. And you know, you don't find one of these meetings dropped either. They're still going on. They're just as important as here when the church was formed. Just as needed. Now, we need to be fed, brethren. Hasn't this been a lovely diet for 2 days now? Why? We had prayer meeting, didn't we? It was needed. Wasn't that a beautiful, precious prayer meeting yesterday morning? I believe I got more for my soul out of that than a lot of other things, that prayer meeting. That's the place where we get His thoughts, His power. The Spirit has liberty to feed us and lead us and guide us. The prayer meeting. We're tapping in to the place of power. And we had reading meetings. Isn't that wonderful? We need it. And we had the worship this morning. And just naturally, the gospel is proclaimed as it should be, even to the children. Well, I want to just look at these three things now, in a sense. And I'd like to mention we need to be fed. We need to be fed a balanced diet. You know, it says of Mephibosheth, he sat at the king's table as one of the king's own sons. He sat continually and ate at the king's table. You know, Mephibosheth was feeding continually. And that's the lovely thought. But you know, when you feed alone, if he was alone, he'd soon lose his appetite. There was others at that table, and the king himself was there, David. And I was thinking of Ruth when Boaz told her to sit down at mealtime with him at his table. And she sat down with his reapers, others that belonged to him. There was fellowship there at the same hospitable table. But how did she get her food, and what was the food? Boaz reached the parched corn and handed it to her. You know, when we're together in the reading meeting, brethren, that's what happens. The Lord uses who He will by the Spirit of God. But He takes that and He hands it to us, each one. Now I want to look at just three places quickly. I want to look at Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, verse 39, and she, Martha, had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. I'm going to mention this is in the other translation. Mary, who also having sat down at the feet of Jesus, was listening to His word. You know, that's the place, isn't it? It's at the feet of Jesus. That's the place. This really speaks of something very important. When you read this little portion, which starts at the verse 38 and goes to the end, as I have it on my heart here, never mind now that Martha was cumbered. Never mind all the fussing about Martha fussing. Never mind that Martha was in a bad state of soul. And never mind that Lazarus wasn't even here when the Lord was there. But do mind what the Lord wants you to grasp, what He wants to tell you in this. And that's really in verse 42. Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I think this little portion tells us today in type of the reading meeting. You know, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Just a lovely verse there. I believe it's what we're talking about. Verse 3. Yea, He loved the people, and all His saints are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. This is what we need. All of us need it. The reading meeting is really the provision meeting that the Lord has made for His church. It's where we receive of his word. It's where we grow. You know, his word is our necessary food. We can't grow without it. And we need it together. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, the body of Christ chapter, let the Spirit of God manifest himself at that time, giving a gift to who he will for that particular meeting. And isn't it lovely when you see one brother at that time perhaps has a gift of love? He may not have it the next night, but another brother has a gift of faith. Another brother has a gift of hope, and we go right on, and the Holy Spirit just uses who he will. You can get something at the reading meeting, brethren, you'll never get by reading yourself. This is what the Lord has in mind, and it's so important. Now, I want to turn to another, and it's in John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And I want to read verse 32. When Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lord, my brother. Now, I just read one verse out of 57, I think, in this chapter. So never mind that Martha was still in a bad state of soul. And never mind that Martha rebuked the Lord even for not getting here sooner. But do mind what the Lord wants us to gather here. It's really the principle of the prayer meeting. The first time Mary was at his feet, she was feeding. But now she's pleading. And brethren, this is such a grand privilege. We have the privilege individually, and I trust we use it. It's been mentioned here in our meetings that we can be instant in prayer, as Paul said. Be prayer in season all the time. And how can you be instant in prayer? It's an attitude. It's an attitude for each one of us. That the Lord is always listening. He even reads our heart. He answers the prayer often before we ask, and while we're yet speaking, he has answered. Isn't that wonderful? We can just cry out to him. But there's particular special power and blessing in corporate prayer, in assembly prayer. And I believe this is the example the Lord wants us to have. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in prayer. You know, I think when Paul, as we were reminded here, was gathered, isn't that wonderful? You know, the Spirit not only opened his eyes, he was gathered to the name of that one he now loved. I believe he was at the meetings. I really believe he was at the meetings. Now we have the worship meeting, the remembrance meeting, and that's important. I'll go to chapter 12 just for a minute, and I'll look at one verse that was read today. Verse 3. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. What was it? It was Mary, again. She was at the feet of Jesus, again. The right attitude, that's the thought, pouring out her heart. You know, brethren, we should come with our baskets full for one reason, just to empty them. Pour them out. If we've really been feeding, if we've really been at the prayer meeting, if we've really been before him all week, it'll be filled. There'll be something anyway that we can pour out. And that's what she did. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Well, we shouldn't mind in this portion either that Martha was still serving. The Lord takes that. Or that Lazarus was feeding with him at the table. The Lord takes that too. You know, we come to the worship meeting not always in the same state, always in the same standing. But whatever we offer up, the Spirit of God sends it. If it's of the Spirit, it sends it right on up. And I do believe some of the most wonderful thoughts, Some of the most wonderful prayers, some of the most fragrant odors are from the sisters who are priests. I really feel that. You know, the Lord reads the heart. The Spirit of God takes from the heart, not just from our voice, from the heart. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And I've had some wonderful thoughts that those dear sisters sitting there have added so much, and we all benefit by it. The Lord is pleased when it goes up as a corporate unit and assembly remembrance. Well, now here we have the worship meeting. She's at his feet again, the right attitude. I'd like to just mention there's three here, three meetings. We had it in Acts 2, and it's going on today. You want to be part of your assembly in its growth and its healthful condition? You have to be there. You need what those meetings can provide for you, and your assembly needs you at those meetings. It works both ways. You can read in chapter 4 of Ephesians how the Lord, when he ascended up, provided for his body, the church. He gave gifts, different kinds, so that we can go on, and the Spirit of God can do that. This is a little different from the gifts we had in 1 Corinthians 12. That is in the assembly for certain purposes, but these are gifts to the church. And then he says, every joint supplies, so that there's edification of the body. That's the key, a building up of your assembly. Every joint supplies. Every part is important. And so you get that thought in 1 Corinthians 12 that says the body is made up of many members. And each member is a member in particular, set there as it pleased the Lord. Do you ever feel that each joint supplies? Now, I dare say, I'm not pointing fingers, but we have a lot of SMOs, Sunday morning onlys. And you know, if you're an SMO, you're taking the privilege, but you're not responsible, and you're not getting fed either. You're not taking the provision. I believe we had the highest privilege this morning anyone could ever have in this world, ever. That's it. That's a privilege. It's nearly not a command. It's the Lord's heart pouring out to you, and it's a fond request. And I know we're supposed to empty our baskets, and I do empty my basket, but I always feel I go away with a basket fuller, over to the brim, than I brought. I know it's not the right order, but the Lord will never be debtor to anyone, and that's the way it works with me. But, you know, it doesn't take long, and it begins to empty out again. Satan's very clever. This world has that way, and the flesh is active, and you got to remember to get ready and be occupied with him. Well, Mary, when she was at his feet in the first place we read, she was feeding. Feeding in Luke 10. That's really the reading meeting. We need it, brethren. I read sometimes alone each day. I read with my wife each day. But we may go through the same chapter that I read in the assembly reading meeting, and I marvel at what I missed. You know, at every reading meeting, there's something for you especially. There is. And if you don't go, you do not get it. It's a real way of growth. A real way of growth. And then the prayer meeting. I just want to take a few minutes on the prayer meeting. I think it's one of the most neglected. Maybe not in your assembly, but in mine. I know there's probably the least attended meeting. If prayer and meeting and readings combined, maybe more so. But where they have prayer separately at a night, it's the least attended. And that's sort of sad. You're needed there. That is a real responsibility. If you're going to take the privilege that we had this morning, and perhaps the provision for your own soul in the assembly, that's the reading. What about the responsibility meeting, the prayer? Oh, I think it's so important. You know, I've heard them say, well, I've had to do this, I had to do that. I understand sometimes your work requires. But if it isn't something that's required, if it's something you feel you ought to do rather than, I suggest just before the prayer meeting, you go to your knees and tell the Lord about it. Tell the Lord, I've got something, Lord, that I got to do. It's more important than being with you and praying for your brethren and my brethren. And see how he considers it. I believe if you do that, you'd be at the prayer meeting. I really do. Tell the Lord your excuse. Tell him it's more important than being there with him and praying for your brethren. The Lord's people is his portion. There isn't anything more important. There isn't anything more important. You know, I've been at a prayer meeting as I travel around where I think it was one representing a healthy assembly. Because it took about 25 minutes to get all the things out they wanted to pray about. I thought that was lovely. You know, when we come together, there's things we ought to be praying about. And the rest of the time, they didn't waste any time. They got right to it. They didn't wait for pauses. They got right to it. I think everyone there prayed. Not long. They prayed. Isn't that why we come together? I think all the brothers ought to pray. Our brother was saying it doesn't take much to pray. You know, you can start out by thanking him for the privilege of prayer. I often do that because I don't know what to pray about. And you know, the Spirit itself then begins to make intercession for me. Perhaps with groanings, I admit that. But then before I know it, I'm praying for someone that I should be praying for and about something I should be praying about. And I even marvel myself. You think the Spirit doesn't do that? Oh, yes, he does, brethren. We read it in Romans 8, don't we? I'm trying to say this. If you want to be an active proponent in your assembly, if you want to be a joint that's supplying, then be there. Be there. You know, your very presence is precious. We have some that come to the meeting and they never take part in our meeting. I don't think I ever heard the voice of some brothers. Oh, how I cherish them. Some of them come the longest distance in the worst weather, and they wouldn't miss it. They're always there. You know, that means more to me than anything. That's everything. And that brother is supplying. That joint's working. Just the way the Lord wants him to work. He's encouraging others. I mean, we know he's going to be there. His wife's going to be there. The children are going to be. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't call a hymn. He doesn't say anything. He means so much to me and how much to the Lord. Well, brethren, I just mentioned this. There's three meetings. There's the worship, and I believe Mary, when she was there in Luke 10, she was feeding. In John 11, she was pleading. That's prayer. But you know, in John 12, she was exceeding because she had been to the other two meetings. She was exceeding both Lazarus and Martha. Now, Martha was serving, not like she was back in Luke 10. And you know, I believe the Lord receives that too. She was doing it heartily as unto the Lord. Lazarus was supping. He was at the table with the Lord right there. There's an intimacy there. Sometimes, you know, maybe we're in the Lazarus situation when we're at the remembrance. And it's not on the level of Mary. Perhaps that's true. But you know, the Spirit sends up what's of the Lord. What's of the Spirit, what's of Christ, it goes up. And I just want to end with that thought in a Song of Songs. In the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Just want to read a verse there. In chapter 5. I am come, verse 1, into my garden. This is the Lord. This is the assembly. My sister, my spouse, I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. You know, I believe this tells us that he slights none. He appreciates each one of us, whatever we're giving out. He takes of all of it if it's of the Spirit. It's not a question of the highest level of worship and the lowest level. It's worship. Isn't that precious? Sometimes we had a brother who called a hymn out, and I suppose the legalist would say, well, he hit the wrong hymn again. It just isn't the one for the breaking of bread. But you know, thank God the brethren sang it in the Spirit. And then what was there went up for that brother and for all of us. The rest, as was done for Gideon, was poured out. It didn't go up, but that's all right. What was right was worship, and what was worship went up. And the Lord takes all. That's the thought. I've come into my garden. I've gathered. I've eaten. I've drunk. I've taken even from the babes the milk. I've taken from those whose hearts were filled with joy the wine. I've taken those who had discernment at that moment the honey. I've eaten the honeycomb, one that was really filled with the Spirit. And I have taken of myrrh and spice. The myrrh would speak of bitterness. And isn't it true? At times we have such deep sorrow. He takes the myrrh. He takes it all. And it goes up. But don't limit it to that. That's the privilege, brethren. Don't limit it to that. If you want a happy, a prosperous, a building up assembly so the gospel will just naturally go out by all members and by the assembly. Don't slight those meetings that were set up at the very beginning, the birth of the church. Don't slight one of them. Be a functioning member.